This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2141. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. Above all, the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded June 2nd, Australia, Canada, China, Cuba, Greece, Kyrgyzstan, Mongolia, New Zealand, Nigeria, North America, Norway, Palau, Peru, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Tibet, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, via Colin Miller, Ontario, on the Shortwave Sites Group. This from the website of the Australian Labour Party, which won the recent elections there, about Indo-Pacific broadcasting strategy. It's at www.alp.org.au. Labour will deliver an Indo-Pacific broadcasting strategy that includes increased funding to the ABC as Australia's international broadcaster, to boost Australian content, and to project Australian identity, values, and interests to the Indo-Pacific region. Delivered by the ABC and Pacific Aus TV in consultation with the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. It will increase funding to the ABC's international program by $8 million a year over the 4 years starting 2022 to expand ABC regional transmission and content production, enable the ABC to expand media capacity training for partners in the Pacific, maintain funding for Pacific Aus TV in the sum of $5.7 million in the financial year to Free TV Australia to continue to deliver Australian television content to broadcasters in the Pacific for another year. And it continues, as part of this strategy, a Labour government will review the potential restoration of Australian shortwave radio broadcasting capacity in the Pacific. This policy is complemented by previously announced Labour Party policies to reverse Scott Morrison's cut of $83.7 million to the ABC and to bolster the independence and stability of the national broadcasters, the ABC and SBS, with 5-year funding terms. This has led to a great deal of speculation in our World of Radio group. Stephen Lewis in Houston says, how much of the old Radio Australia shortwave transmission infrastructure is still in operating condition? Looking at Google Earth photos of both Shepparton and Brandon, I can see the towers are still there in recent images, but no indication the transmitters are still in place. Brandon closed in 2015 and Shepparton in 2017. The phrase, review the potential restoration, could mean this goes nowhere. John Filiozzi in New York says, I suspect the equivocal statement cited is a recognition that the ABC still needs convincing, and they may not be. It was the ABC that decided to end Radio Australia's use of shortwave, along with the Outback domestic shortwave services, not the Australian government. One can correctly presume, however, that significant budget cuts to the ABC engineered by that government played a major role in ABC's decision. In a subsequent parliamentary inquiry, the ABC's management insisted that its decision to end shortwave was sound. Tim Gaynor of Unique Radio in Australia says, the Shepparton site is now owned by developers, so I don't think it can be used. The antennas are still there. Maybe a deal could be done to lease the site. I've been told the shortwave site in the Northern Territory still exists, formerly the NT Domestic Service, all 50 kilowatts. So I suppose it could be upgraded for Radio Australia use, but the power cost there wouldn't be the best. So really, I believe new facilities should be used, but it's anyone's guess where. Richard Langley in New Brunswick says, it would be too expensive to restore and run in operation and energy. Another option might be for Australia to purchase time on an existing facility that is not too bad shape and perhaps with some excess capacity, like BBC Singapore, NHK Japan, or USAGM in Thailand. Meanwhile, there are still some low-power private shortwave stations in Australia to be de-exed, such as in this report from Gary Pence in Texas, who, due to his circumstances, only uses remote receivers. He heard Unique Radio Australia, 5035 USB, at 0832 UT, using a remote in New South Wales. And it was barely audible in San Francisco, also on 5055 AM, station 4KZ, with music and local commercials, 0849 to 0859 UT. a good signal into Half Moon Bay, California on May 28th. As we reported last week, CHU time signals from Canada were totally off the air from 20 UT May 21st due to a heavy storm and power outage in its area, and it remained off for more than a week, although there were occasional signs of a carrier. Finally, on May 30th, Don Moman and Joe Caberlin in Canada noted it back on the air by 1500 UT. The three frequencies 3330, 7850, and 14670. And I was also hearing it at 1551, but the time announcements were exactly 2 hours slow. It said it was 13 hours, 51 minutes, when it was really 1551 UT, and so on further checks that day. The English and French announcers must have been in cahoots since both were doing it. And this was still the case when I retired at 0640 UT May 31st. Sometime between then and 1450, they got the hour announcements corrected, according to Richard Langley in New Brunswick, who had advised the powers that be at NRC about the problem. They replied, "Don't know why the time was 2 hours off. It is fixed now. The antennas were fine. The problem was the generator failed for a long time, so everything shut down. Then we were not allowed access to the site until yesterday. They just opened the road where CHU is located this morning." But there was still confusion in Canada. Another major shortwave station, CHR Trenton Military on 15034, kept saying no report received from the remote aerodromes, which would normally provide weather information. This was occurring May 29th, 30th, and still on the 31st. Unfortunately, it's not that infrequent, affecting all or part of their broadcasts. This automation could not even receive reports from Trenton itself. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard reports about China Huayi Broadcasting Corporation, 6185, heard fairly well May 31st after 0950 UT as Mexico still remains silent on the frequency. However, there's this from the CAHCN site in China posted May 31st. CHBC, the external broadcasting station for Taiwan, Hong Kong, Macau, and Southeast Asia, located in Fuzhou, issued an announcement. Due to the upgrade of transmission equipment and technical adjustments, CHBC shortwave 6185 will be suspended from June 1st to 14th and is expected to resume on June 15th, but would continue on medium wave and FM. And checking the next day, June 1st, Ron Howard confirms that CHBC, checked after 0950 UT, was indeed off the air from 6185, a clear frequency without Mexico either. Ivo Ivanov, Observer Bulgaria, reports frequency and transmitter changes of the Christian broadcast for China called Lifestyle Discourse. It's at 1130 to 12 UT on 11925 via a site in Taiwan. An evangelical broadcast in Chinese on Wednesdays and Saturdays only. It had started out via the UAE site on 21500. Ron Howard found out more about it from their website in translation. "Do you believe in magic? You know your life and future should not rely on feng shui, horoscopes, tarot cards, fortune-telling, but on God's words." And they have a phone number which appears to be in Malaysia. Even more about it from Takahito Akabayashi in Tokyo. "This Christian religious organization, headquartered in Nigeria, is active in the UK, Canada, Australia, and USA. The name in Chinese means glorious life." And Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener refers this to a Deutsche Welle story about the group behind the broadcast. Headline, "Preachers of Prosperity, Faith as Business. Martin Luther reformed the Christian church to prevent the marketing of religion. But in Africa, the debate over blending God and money is a very timely one." Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba, such as mixing up its own programming with spy numbers transmissions. For example, on May 27th, I tuned in at 2303 to 11950, just in time to hear a few spy numbers before it cut over to Havana, Cuba programming. On the other hand, Ivo Ivanov heard RHC in Spanish instead of Cuban spy HMO1 at 05 UT and 11462 via Bejucal on June 2nd. At 0459, he was hearing Radio Havana Cuba programming on that spy numbers frequency. It's scheduled Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturdays only. Also May 27th at 0625 UT, I tracked 13 different shortwave frequencies with jamming against nothing, despite the fact that there are electricity shortages in Cuba, as reported May 31st by DDC. On social media, Cubans are venting their weariness with the ongoing blackouts they constantly suffer, which worsened this week after the shutdown of several generation units. Yet the jamming of supreme priority continues unabated. However, I have noticed lately some RHC broadcast frequencies have been unusually weak. Richard Langley and Alan Rowe made a point of tuning 9420 on May 31st, which might have been the last day of Voice of Greece on shortwave. They were hearing it between 1225 and 17 UT. Then in the British GX Club, Dimitri, M0SUY and SV1UY, says, according to Greek media, Voice of Greece received another 2 weeks of life support, and links to a translation of the report at TET Radio GR, half a month extension for ERT's shorts. The operation of the Avellita Shortwave Broadcasting Center got a second extension, following a suggestion by the General Director of Technology and Media Operation of ERT, and a request from the Ministry of Defense. The Voice of Greece will continue to broadcast proportionally at least until June 15th, when the conditions will be reevaluated. And indeed, we were still hearing that lovely Greek music on 9420, June 1st until closing at 1700, a very good signal into the remote in Holland. Zaharias Yangas in Greece was surprised to hear news in English from Kyrgyz Radio, 4010.02, listening via the remote in Novosibirsk, Russia. On May 26th or 27th, best reception in SSB. Back to the Kyrgyz language at 1606 and ID in Russian at 1613. Gary Pence in Dallas reports to Hardcore DX hearing Voice of Mongolia's English program 12085 on May 29th between 09 and 930 UT. It starts and finishes with the interval signal. And announcers talk about some current events and play native music. He says the signal has a low-pitched hum or rumble in the audio, making it very recognizable, especially when signals are weak. He was hearing it via remote in California, but better reception, of course, via one in Japan. Alan Rowe reports a rather strange message on the FB of Voice of Mongolia, 26 May. Dear listeners, greetings from the English section. We are ready to send verification letters to those who reported us in May. But note this, we will send the verification letter to listeners who have submitted reports at least 3 times in 1 month. The reason why is items such as postcards and stamps are limited. Please note, it is difficult for us to respond to anyone who sent a report once every few months. We want you to be more active, and we will write back to our active listeners. We would be happy if you could write a more detailed report. And questions you want to ask, we'll always be ready to answer on the mailbox program every Monday. And a reminder that Voice of Mongolia is now being relayed by WRMI at 0130 UT Tuesday through Saturday on 5800 via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2141, a non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for generous financial support from Dan Sheedy in Encinitas, California, who sent some dollars to help out your always helpful WOR info group to P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. One may also contribute, not necessarily in U.S. funds, via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Radio New Zealand Pacific keeps jumbling its shortwave frequency schedule. The latest change, June 1st. Stephen Luce in Texas says, their constant frequency changes have to be confusing for listeners in the Pacific. It seems they change frequencies every time we turn on a shortwave radio. Are there co-channel interference issues, such as China, in the Pacific that we are unaware of? Chris Mackerel in New Zealand says they have to be responsive to the needs of their Pacific Island relay stations. Rodney Johnson in Minnesota monitors RNZ every night and says they return to the 41-meter frequency the morning of May 31st, instead of 9700, now on 7245. Of course, in North America, that's a ham band. He says, RNZ signal has been so strong I could barely hear the Navy Amateur Radio Club net on the same frequency, once in a while underneath. In the past, they would always complain about New Zealand being there as they were trying to check in. I point out that although it would be nice if NZ were to avoid our ham band, they are not required to, because it's for broadcasting in their part of the world. Anyhow, it's a shame that 9700 is, for now, no longer in use, but I'm sure it will be back eventually. The current schedule shows 15720 until 0600, I'm rounding off the hours, then 11725 for 2 hours, from 087245, and from 13 5980. Furthermore, on June 2nd at 0537, Rodney Johnson found NZ on 5980 far before it's supposed to be there. I point out that, according to their website, every month on the first Wednesday is maintenance day at the transmitter site until 0600. There may be interruptions to our programmings. Nigeria Non, I think the following is yet to be confirmed, but Ivo Ivanov says, as of June 1st, Radio Ominira Yoruba is registered in HFCC from 19 until midnight UT, 5 hours on 9450 via Wolverton, UK, as Radio Freedom Yoruba. Antichrist Pirate, station YHWH, continues to be active almost every evening in AM on 7475, various times between 03 and 05 UT. But on May 27th, during a routine band scan, I found him on 15750 at 2125. Previously on 19 meters, he'd been heard on 15785 and 15100. And I caught another North American pirate on a very strange frequency, 9913 USB, May 28th at 2328, until past midnight 49 the next UT day. I didn't get a definite ID, but there were recent previous reports on exactly that frequency of Psycho Radio, or is it Psycho, S-Y-C-K-O, according to HF Underground. When I heard him, besides some music and slow scan TV, it was a long but raunchy stand-up comedy routine. And on that occasion, I didn't see any reports of him on HF Underground. Norway, Non, Alan Rowe forwards info from Rosanna of Radio Northern Europe International, RNEI.org. There will be a short 15-minute test transmission Saturday, 4 June, 0805 UT on 15430 via now in Germany 175 degrees. The broadcast will comprise a special episode of Mama's Messed Metal. In New Zealand DX Times, Mike Smith reports, as of 24 May, about a new transmitter being installed for the government of Palau. Kennedy Tariella from Jagard Wireless Communications responded to my inquiry about whether it's on the air. He says, I'm currently working on 1540 AM here in Koror. It's not yet activated. We are still working on the main power connection, and there hasn't been any test done. In Brazil, Lucio Otavio Bobrovic reports Peru's Radio Logos on 4810, May 23rd at 0908 to 0950, with instrumental and Andean music and IDs and time checks. He says it's usually on the air only two or three times per week, but not heard lately except on that date. The privately financed relay of an hour of Radio Svoboda in Russian, 19 to 20 UT on 9370 via a secret site, perhaps Armenia, was last heard on May 24th and still missing as of May 29th, so appears to have been canceled. Just to end June 2nd from Richard Langley, I sent an email to Kate Nicevender, Esquire, among the crowdfunders, and heard from her. We expect broadcasts on several frequencies from two locations to continue through mid-June. We have dropped use of the most expensive transmitter sites due to dwindling funds. So, I guess that's confirmation that 9370 was terminated. Gary Pence reports, Saudi Arabia, on 15170, May 29th at 0426 in Arabic with music, news, and commentary. A great signal from coast to coast in the U.S., S9 plus 10, both to Virginia and northern Utah. Yes, such propagation is a summer phenomenon. I've enjoyed listening to it before as a soporific. After their annual maintenance break we mentioned last week, Tibetan and Chinese stations are back on the air on a number of frequencies. Joe Jacob in India was again hearing on May 31st, 4820, 4905, and 4920. As of that date, many other frequencies also confirmed active again by Wolfgang Büschel listening to remotes in South Asia. And on 6200, China and Tibet are clashing again, says Ron Howard as of May 31st. After that maintenance break, decent reception in the clear of Zhejiang PBS Lhasa from 1145 on 6200. But at 1220, the usual double startup of Voice of Jinling in China. Tibet was parallel to 4920. He says, nice to have Tibet back on the air again, until hit by a much stronger Jinling on 6200. In the NASA flash sheet, Ralphus Perry in Illinois reports on 15215, May 24th, signing on at 1156 via the UAE site, Gawelan Tibetan Radio. It's an FEBC Philippines program relayed via Dabaya with Christian hymns and preaching in Tibetan until 1230. He says the programming originates at a studio in India. I'm not at all sure how it's pronounced, so I spell G-A-W-E-Y-L-O-N. Following last week's news of BBC World Service budget cuts, Stephen Luce says, my guess is that the beams to South Asia and East Asia would be cut. Transmissions to the Middle East and Southeast Asia are possibly in the balance. I think the Africa beams will be safe for the time being. For other languages, it will come down to a country-by-country evaluation, with attention paid to the level of press and broadcasting freedom in the target areas. I often wonder if the Singapore relay station might be closed. It appears to be greatly underutilized. But then it is a key gateway to Myanmar, and we all know the political situation there. Decisions, decisions. And Kai Lufisch in Germany replies concerning Singapore, what is publicly known suggests that, with the exception of a single transmitter moved in from Skelton, England, after the closure there, this station still uses the original equipment moved in from Tibral, Malaysia, where it had been installed in 1971. What will remain of the current World Service radio output production-wise? Nothing should be expected to be taboo. This statement is pretty clear and unsurprising. It said, we can only expect UK license fee payers to fund so much. One of our World of Radio broadcasts on WRMI has not appeared for the past couple of weeks due to some technical problems. We hope it can resume, as it's especially good for our listeners in Europe. That is, Saturday at 1930 UT on 15770. Terry Colgan of Texas Radio Shortwave previews three new shows the weekend of June 4th, Saturday starting at 23 UT until 0200 on WRMI 5950. The first hour at 23 is the Camel Rock and Roll Dance Party from CBS Radio in 1956. The second hour at midnight UT, Roger Miller, and at 01 UT, Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys. However, in the middle of that block, at midnight UT Sunday, June 5th, another WRMI frequency has a special broadcast, 9395, via Manuel Menith, it's Atlantic 2000, celebrating its anniversary on June 6th. 40 years old. That show will be repeated every Sunday of June at the same time on the same frequency. More on their website, radioatlantic2000.free.fr. During WBCQ's Alan Wiener Worldwide, UT Saturday, May 28th, between midnight and 01, an additional frequency was on the air, apparently as a test, reactivated 3265, which I measured 154 hertz above that, via a remote receiver. Apparently testing, not noted since. I don't understand why they run this only in the summers, when it would be much more useful in winter nights. Another anomaly at BCQ, UT Thursday, June 2nd at midnight 17, on 7489.9 variable, I ran across Cruisin' the Decades. That's the music show originating with the Summit in Akron, Ohio. It had been on WRMI and probably still is, but it's not at all on the WBCQ program schedules. The originating station is WAPS, and its website, thesummit.fm, has nothing at all about Cruisin' the Decades other than a generic air shift Monday to Friday at 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern by its host, Brad Savage. June 2nd at midnight 10 UT, 5970 was back on the air. WEWN must have fixed its nighttime transmitter. It had been off for a few weeks. 20 over 9 with a call-in program discussing gas prices and Juan Carlos. Not exactly RCC liturgical stuff, but the anchorette frequently exclaims, Gracias a Dios, so is projecting piety. The English night frequency, 9385, is still absent. 'Tis the season for sporadic EDX on FM, and perhaps the lower digital TV channels. So far, I never managed to catch any in May, and I have better hopes for June and July. There has been some tropo from adjacent states. For example, from over 300 miles away, KTAL-DT, Virtual 6, actually now on RF channel 26, May 29th after 15 UT. Main channel is NBC for Texarkana and Shreveport markets, transmitter site about halfway between them. Also with LAF on 6-2, COSY on 6-3, and HSN on 6-4. TAL originally stood for one of the tallest towers at that time, but could also mean Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, never mind Oklahoma. I was going to hold the following item until next week when it's a bit more imminent, but with time to spare, here it is now. Mark your calendars. It concerns Thursday, June 16th. Special transmissions of the UN Symposium on Abduction Issues. Ron Howard forwards info about this from Hiroshi in Japan. On June 16th, the governments of Australia, Japan, the U.S., and the European Union will co-host an online symposium in the UN on the abductions issue as a side event of the UN with participation of members of the permanent mission to the UN in New York. An opportunity to directly listen to voices of families of victims from Japan and other countries. We've also invited former ambassadors of European countries to North Korea to discuss the current situation there and ways to resolve the abductions issue. Watch the live broadcast of the symposium on UN Web TV in English and the official YouTube channel of the headquarters for the abduction issue, the government of Japan, in Japanese. There will also be shortwave broadcasts during this symposium, June 16th between 12 and 14 UT, as Ivo Ivanov also notes, on 13725 via Tajikistan in Japanese and 17820 via UAE in Korean. Both 250 kilowatts, beamed 60 degrees. From Sky and Telescope via Richard Langley, the sun is waking up. Now the uptick in activity seems to mark a change in the sun's behavior. Lisa Upton of the Space Systems Research Corporation, co-chair of the Solar Cycle 25 Prediction Panel, says that for the first time in 50 years, the solar cycle seems to be stronger than the one before it. She and colleague David Hathaway are predicting that this cycle will be up to 30% more active. The short-term propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder issued May 30th. Geomagnetic field activity expected to reach minor storm levels on 24 June. Active levels on 12th, 13th, 16th, 17th, and 23 June due to recurrent coronal hole high-speed stream influences. Numerically, ANK indices only 5 and 2 through June 9th. Then rising to a peak of 14 and 4 on June 12th and 13th, 16th and 17th. 16 and 4 on June 23rd, 22 and 5 on June 24th. Solar flux dipping to 98 June 3rd to 6th, rising to a peak of 150 June 14th, and down to only 100 by June 23rd. And that's World of Radio, 2141. Glenn Hauser inviting you to hear me again next week with a standard disclaimer.